Continuing in the book of Acts this evening, and we're still in Acts, the third chapter. We haven't gone very far in the book of Acts. There's just so many things to talk about. And you're just fortunate, I guess, in some respects, that I don't talk about everything that I have, that I like to talk about in each one of these chapters, or we might be several months on one chapter. I don't know. But this evening, we're looking at an idea, a concept called the heralding the restitution. Heralding the restitution. You know, the Bible teaching of the restitution of all things has long been one of the outstanding doctrines of the Church of God. One of the first papers of the Church of God was called the Restitution. And of course, the presently, the official paper that we have is called the Restitution Herald, and it comes from this, Acts 3:21, one of my favorite verses in the book of Acts, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. The restitution of all things. And this is, of course, one of the old heralds. This is 1969. That was back when I was working, I think, in the mail office at that time. And so that's why I have some of these on hand. But it was the official and continues to be the official paper of the Church of God. An Iowa preacher by the name of W.L. Kroll in 1896 said that whenever he would enter a town, that he would be identified by people because they would call him a restitutionist, because he taught the Bible doctrine of the restitution of all things. So let's look at the meaning of what does restitution mean. Well, we look at Webster's dictionary for our definition here, and Webster tells us it is the act of restoring, restoration of anything to its rightful owner. And so restitution, as the Bible doctrine, means the second coming of Jesus, when He will usher in this great time of restoring the earth to the condition like it was in the Garden of Eden. This work of restoration is the work of God through Christ in the kingdom of God. Well, what will be restored is a natural question. You know, if we want to, if we're restoring something, we want to know what we're restoring it to. And so here is what we find in the scripture. The earth is going to be restored to its original condition as it was in the Garden of Eden. Originally, the earth was very good, according to Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. There are no weeds. I've been, from time to time, in the last couple of weeks, I've been going out here trying to get these weeds out of the crack of this asphalt out here. And I've been doing it by hand. And they're using a shovel, I mean, and things. I'm trying to get those weeds out of there and then trying to spray some weed killer back there so that they won't return again. They bother me. They bother me immensely, all those weeds in the crack. Apparently it doesn't bother anybody else because I've not been joined out there, but they do bother me. But it'd be good not to have those weeds. It'd be good not to have those storms. It'd be good to have rain, but not the storms. There'd be no extremes of the heat and the cold. All was ideal in that garden, the spot where God put us. When the earth was cursed because of sin, then these bad conditions came on the earth, and paradise was lost. Genesis 3:17 says this, "Unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." So we won't go sidetracked here that it was the woman who got us into all this trouble. We'll say that for Mother's Day or something, I guess. But this condition of beauty and perfection will be restored. Isaiah 35, verses 1 and 6, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Peace will be restored in the animal world. Until the time of the flood, animals apparently lived at peace and ate grass. And after the flood, animals became food for man and for one another, of course. Genesis 9:3 says, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all these things." I've given you all things here. I heard somebody talking, at the Olympics and something. They was talking about all these little delicacies that they was having and things, and somebody was talking about how good fish tongues taste. Well, according to Scripture, that's all right for you to eat. Now, whether you can stomach it is another thing altogether, of course, but it's all meant for us to use as food and be used as food. Isaiah 11 says, verses 6 and 7 says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." This is, people have tried this. Now, this is a word, wonderful word picture here that people have tried to take over and paint and make into a picture. "But the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox." It's a beautiful description here of a time when it has been restored here. You know, and we're looking also to us that a single language will be restored. You know, until the sin of man at the city of Babel, man evidently spoke only one language. That explains why when they were dispersed out into the world, that they took some common stories with them, because they had a universal language and had some universal experiences, such as the flood and the creation of man and things such as that. But Genesis 11, 6 and 7 says, "And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." The difference in language, of course, has been a curse to man ever since. And again, I draw you back to the Olympics. I wonder, as I was watching the Olympics, how do these people communicate sometimes? Well, thank goodness, I guess, most every other nation in the world teaches their people how to speak English. So we don't have to go to all that trouble to learn all the other languages in the world. Not that I'm capable of doing that, thank goodness. And I found in our travels, when we traveled for the short time that we did, we had very little trouble communicating because most everyone that we dealt with spoke in English. But it can be and could be a problem, particularly if you was trying to command somebody to get out of your way or to get out of danger and there was a communication problem. But in the kingdom of God, one language will be spoken by all the people, and harmony will exist between men then. Zephaniah 3:9, and we get over to Zephaniah. He's lost somewhere over there in the back of the Old Testament, isn't he? But for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent, just like it was in the beginning. Israel will be restored to the land, and their land restored to Israel. The land that was promised to Abraham and his seed. We say, well, that's, hasn't that happened? We have a nation of Israel. We have a nation of Israel since 1948. Well, let me tell you, that's only step one of about a four-step process that's going to transpire on this earth as Israel receives the promised territory that was made to them when God spoke to Abraham and outlined the borders of the property that he was giving to him as an inheritance. Genesis 17, 7 and 8 says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And so it identifies it from a river in Egypt all the way up to the river Euphrates. When have you ever known Israel to have that as their possession? It has not happened any time in history up to this point. And in fact, even though they were going to get a very good sizable chunk of land originally in the early 1900s when they began to talking about putting Israel back in the land with the Balfour Declaration, and later on when the United Nations took it up, they kept reducing it and kept reducing the property that was going. Even that property that initially was going to give them wasn't going to be these boundaries. And of course today, what does Israel find itself in? It finds itself in the position that it gives up property for peace. And so it has less and less territory all the time than what it had when it began as a nation in 1948. It has never had the entire property that has been promised to Father Abraham. But the time is coming when that will be their property. Because of the sin, of course, Israel was taken from the land, scattered over all the world. The land has been possessed by Gentiles all this time. Israel, of course, has part of the land, and some of the people have returned. But in the kingdom, Israel will own all its possessions, and it will be completely restored. Ezekiel 36:24 says, "For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land." The dead will be restored to life through resurrection. You know, man was created to live, but because of sin, he brought death upon the whole human race. But Genesis 3:19 tells us of this. "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return." Not much of a prospect there is there. According to this scripture, you work until you die, and that's pretty much it. You know, you get to be dust again, one of these days. But we were made to live. We were made to exist forever. That was what God intended from the very beginning. That's what God promises to us as a part of our acceptance of Jesus Christ, that we can live forever, it can happen. Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." Death is done away. One day, all those things are done away, and finally, death itself is done away with. Revelation 22:3, "And there shall be no more curse." You know, one of the things that recently I began to contemplate, you know, the curse that was pronounced was a curse on the earth. You know, the curse of the thorns and the thistles and such. And I got to thinking about that, and I wonder if it wasn't through the curse that was placed actually on the physical earth then that resulted in the shortness of our life, that we ingested things then that begin to shorten our life over a span of time. And that curse is going to be taken. That's just a thought for you to take with you and deal with it as you want. You can turn also to this 22nd chapter of Revelation when it talks about a tree of life with leaves for the healing of the nation and all that. Anyway, that's something I was thinking about. But there's going to be no more curse. Whatever that curse is, it's going to be lifted. It's going to be done away with. "But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in, and His servants shall serve Him." And then 1 Corinthians 15:24-25, "Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when He shall put down all rule and all authority and power, for He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet." You know, we have seen in the last week or so that this movement by Russia into Georgia. Not the one down here for anybody that's confused. They have other problems. They don't need Russia to come in there for them. But and that the moving into to the once of the, one of the providence of the old Soviet Union, Georgia. Well, of course, while we're preoccupied with the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, while we're mulling over the possibilities of a war with Iran, all this is happening. And even when Jesus comes back, he comes back and he takes care of a battle that's going on at that time. But still, with King Jesus, people want to fight against him. And they will try to do it, but he'll finally put it all down. He'll take care of it all. The whole world will be at peace. And when every last spirit of man that has tried to rebel against God has been done away with, then he turns his kingdom over to God. And he says, here it is. I've done the work that you sent me to do. Last week we enumerated some things that we needed to do in order to be in that kingdom. And we want to refresh your memory here. Acts 3:19. Here, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent ye and be converted, it said. A chapter earlier, Peter says this in Acts 2:38, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so those are the things that are laid out for us if we want to be a part of that restoration, that restitution of all things that is going to transpire upon this earth. We need to be found in Christ at his coming. Soon shall restitution glory bring to earth a blessed rest, and the poor and faint and weary shall be lifted up and blessed. Just before the time of trouble, see the reigning Prince of Peace. Lo, God's kingdom now is coming, and oppression soon must cease. He's now gathering out his jewels, those who with him soon shall reign, and earth's weeping and sad farewell soon shall change to joyous strain. Sing, oh sing, ye heirs of glory. Shout the tidings as you go. Publish wide redemption's story. All its healing balm should know. Tell how Eden's bloom and beauty once again shall be restored, making all man's wide dominion as the garden of the Lord. Tell how Satan's dark dominion shall at once be overthrown, and from our death's gloomy prison all earth's loved ones soon shall come. Oh yes, sing ye heirs of glory, shout your triumph far and near. Let the notes of praise and singing sweetly fall on sorrow's ear.